Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we'll talk about some Dodgers news, some transactions in the rest of the National League West, and how the current Dodgers team felt about the fact that Freddie Freeman is now one of us. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe in all those places so you never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio, but today it's just going to be me. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and in the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So again, please subscribe wherever you're listening or watching, and let's talk about the Dodgers. So the Dodgers had a little bit of news. Obviously, the big news was the previous day when the Dodgers signed Freddie Freeman. That deal is not yet official. On Thursday, Freeman was doing his physical and all that, and word was that he would be reporting to camp today, Friday. So something to look forward to. We are going to talk in a little bit about the reaction of Dodgers players and Dave Roberts to the news that Freddie Freeman was coming. But first, there's other stuff to talk about. I guess we'll start with the actual Dodgers news. The Dodgers re-signed Danny Duffy. As you recall, the Dodgers traded for Danny Duffy last year at the trade deadline. Ultimately, he never did pitch for them. His injury was more severe than they, I guess they knew there was a chance of that, but they had hoped to get him back by the end of the season. That didn't happen. And now it looks like he probably won't be ready until about mid-year this year. And so they signed him basically the same deal as Jimmy Nelson. We haven't heard the financial terms. We heard on Nelson it was like $700,000 for this year and $1.3 million next year if they pick up his option, I think. I assume Duffy would be somewhere in that same ballpark, but maybe a little bit more, because there is a good chance that he will pitch for the Dodgers this year, hopefully by midseason. And then they do have a team option for next year. Seems like they're piling up some of these team options. So, you know, they'll have some interesting decisions to make this offseason or next offseason. But Danny Duffy, you know, he will most likely go on to the 60-day injured list as soon as necessary. They're kind of doing a dance right now with the roster, just kind of a little bit of understanding of how the roster works. There's the 40-man roster. You have the active 26-man roster, and then there's the 40-man roster. Those other 14 players are players who are eligible to be called up to the big leagues. And, you know, 40, guys on the 40-man roster make a little more money when they're in the minor leagues, but mostly it's a paperwork thing that, you know, they are the guys who are eligible. And once you're on the 40-man roster, you have to stay on the 40-man roster, or else you have to go through waivers to get put off. So that's why when you hear about a guy being DFA'd, which stands for designated for assignment, that is a way to get a man off the 40-man roster. You DFA him, that puts him through waivers so other teams can claim him. If he isn't claimed, then you can outright him to the minors. Outrighting means removing him from the 40-man roster and sending him back to your minor leagues. Some players in certain situations have the option to refuse an outright assignment and become a free agent. And that happens sometimes, but that's just kind of a little roster, you know. So when we talk about the Dodgers signing these guys and them having to make room on the 40-man roster, that's what we're talking about. The Dodgers 40-man roster right now is full. When they signed Jimmy Nelson, when that became official, they put Dustin May on the 60-day injured list because guys on the 60-day injured list don't count towards the 40-man roster. The 15-day or 10-day, depending on if it's a pitcher or a position player, those injured lists do count towards the 40-man roster, but the 60-day injured list does not. So to make room for Jimmy Nelson, they put Dustin May on the 60-day injured list. Now, Jimmy Nelson is going to miss this whole season. So as soon as they need that spot, they will put Jimmy Nelson on the 60-day injured list, most likely with this signing of Danny Duffy. They'll put Nelson on the 60-day injured list. And then Danny Duffy, because he isn't going to be ready till midseason, that's more than 60 days from now. So once they make the Freddie Freeman signing official, they'll probably put Danny Duffy on the 60-man injured list. The challenge is They have one more because there's still Hanser Alberto, who they've signed, but it hasn't become official yet. And once that becomes official, they will need a 40-man roster spot for him. So that means either somebody being DFA'd to get off the 40-man roster. And we talked the other day about, you know, Darian Nunez or somebody like that being a possibility. There's also the possibility of a trade. If the Dodgers work out a trade, trade one or more players who are currently on their 40-man roster, then that opens up spots. I've been thinking about this, and, you know, even if they did a prospect trade, you know, for a starting pitcher, you know, a guy like Frankie Montas, like we talked about yesterday, I could see the Dodgers including a guy like Michael Grove, who's a prospect, but he's also on the 40-man roster. And so that might be a guy who they would include for purposes of clearing up more 40-man roster spots. You know, we've talked about Matt Beatty as a possible trade partner. Edwin Rios hit two home runs off Walker Buehler in live batting practice on Thursday. You know, maybe Buehler was told to groove him some pitches to bump up his potential trade value. I don't think so. I think the Dodgers want Edwin Rios' bat coming off the bench. But, you know, so there could be a trade. There could be a DFA. And that's that. Or if there's an injury that we don't know about or that it's more severe than we thought. You know, I guess there's an outside chance Caleb Ferguson or Tommy Kahnle, who are both recovering from Tommy John surgery, could be put on the 6-day injured list. I don't think that's likely at all because both of them, as far as we know, are on track to be ready early in the season. And the 60-day injured list starts from the start of the season, so they wouldn't be eligible to come back till like June 6th if they were put on the 60-day. So I don't think that's likely. But, you know, there could be another injury. We don't know. But so there's ways to make room on the 40-man roster, and that's going to have to happen because right now Jimmy Nelson is official. Danny Duffy's not yet. Freddie Freeman isn't yet. And Hanser Alberto isn't yet. And so they're going to need at least one 40-man roster spot. Another thing that might complicate it, although we found out on Thursday that it won't complicate it anytime soon, is if and when Trevor Bauer is put back on the active roster or taken off administrative leave. And if there's any suspension when that's done, he would have to be put back on the 40-man roster. We did find out on Thursday that his administrative leave has been extended through April 16th. So he'll miss at least the first, you know, week and a half of the season. The reasoning for that, I don't know the reasoning for exactly April 16th, but apparently he has a court hearing on April 4th to try to make the Pasadena Police Department turn over his phone records, or his accuser's phone records. He believes that those phone records, the text messages, would exonerate him. And so he is declining to talk to Major League Baseball's investigators until after that hearing. So that's the reason for this delay again. You know, I will continue to take my standard approach to the Trevor Bauer mess, which is I'm not going to have a strong opinion until I have more information. And, you know, the information we have right now, I don't still have enough information to have any opinion one way or the other than, it sucks. So, but when he does come back, if he does come back, he'll have to be added to the 40-man roster. But that isn't looming right now because of that extended administrative leave. That's kind of it in Dodgers news right now. I hope that wasn't too tedious with the explanation on the roster stuff. I know I hear from a lot of you guys sometimes that, you know, there's things that we'll talk about that maybe you don't know or don't totally understand. So if you already know all that roster stuff, thanks for bearing with me. You know, I'm trying to try. I want to help people learn if they don't know and in a way that's not too annoying to people who already know the stuff. So hopefully we're walking that line. Okay. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about some moves that other National League West teams made over the week. And thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is a delicious candy bar. It's so yummy, so delicious. Oh, wait, it's not a candy bar. It's a protein bar, and it's really good for you, in addition to being so delicious. Every Built Bar is covered in chocolate, and it's all low-calorie, low-sugar, low-carb, high-protein, high-fiber, all the good stuff, none of the bad stuff. They also have Built Puffs, which are basically like chocolate-covered marshmallows that are also somehow good for you. I've eaten marshmallows. They're not good for you, but Built Puffs are somehow. And the way they do it is they start with taste and then they figure out how to make it healthy. And however they do it, they pull it off. It's magic, or I'm pretty sure they learned it at Hogwarts. So if you haven't tried it yet, you really should. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. I want to tell you about Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Let's talk about a couple of these deals in the National League West. The two big ones. Let's talk about Chris Bryant first. Chris Bryant signed with the Rockies for 7 years, $182 million. That's $26 million per year. That means that Chris Bryant got almost as much per year as Freddie Freeman. Bryant got 26, Freeman got 27. Bryant got a year longer, and so he actually got about $20 million more in total compensation. This is kind of baffling to me. It's not baffling from Bryant's standpoint. I've seen a lot of people saying, what's Chris Bryant thinking? Well, he's thinking that the Rockies offered to give him $182 million. Like, yeah. I'll play in Colorado. I'll play on the moon for $182 million. Playing on the moon would be cool. Not the best example, Jeff. That sounds like a bonus. But, you know, I don't understand it from a Rockies standpoint. We don't really know what the Rockies, where they are in their competitive cycle, what they're trying to do. They traded away Nolan Arenado. They apparently aren't going to re-sign Trevor Story, probably. They didn't even offer John Gray a qualifying offer, if I remember right. It's kind of crazy. And yet they go out and sign Chris Bryant. Bryant is interesting for the Rockies for a couple of reasons to me. One is, like, he's not really a third baseman anymore. I guess he could play third base, but defensively, the Rockies definitely have two better defensive third basemen. But as I talked about a week or two ago, those guys both aren't the best hitters. Josh Fuentes can't hit at all, and Ryan McMahon has potential but hasn't really shown it. So Bryant would be an upgrade over them offensively, but I think he'd be a severe downgrade defensively. But the other positions he plays the outfield. And the Rockies outfield, that Coors Field outfield is way too big. I don't think Chris Bryant has what it takes to be a good outfielder at Coors Field. I don't think he has the foot speed to have the range necessary to be good out there. The other option is first base. And you know, Bryant, when he's healthy, when he's good, he has the bat for first base. But, like, there's a lot of this value in a first baseman. And I feel like the Rockies could have gotten a lot better value if they were looking for a first baseman. There's a lot better values than Chris Bryant. So I have a hard time believing that they have first base in mind for him. I feel like it's either going to be third base or the outfield. And I think there's definite pitfalls available in both of those. And the fact that he's just not as good as he used to be. He was already losing it with the Cubs. Cubs traded him to the Giants and he just wasn't very good at all there. Everybody was so excited that, you know, in Giants land. And then within a week or two, they're like, this guy, ugh. And, you know, so he's not a bad player. There's no way I can see him being good for seven more years. I don't think if I was a GM, I don't think I would have given Chris Bryant more than 3 years. And, you know, I could see a team going to four or even five if they were really desperate for him. I can't imagine that anybody came anywhere close to the Rockies offer. So kudos to Chris Bryant's agent, whoever that is, you know, playing that up and, you know, apparently convincing the Rockies that he had a deal, an offer somewhere close to that, because whatever it is, that's crazy. Then there's the other one, the Giants. They signed our old friend, Jock Peterson. And we mentioned this briefly on yesterday's episode. It's a 1 year deal, $6 million. They're not expecting much from Jock Peterson, which is probably for the best because Jock Peterson doesn't have much to offer at this point. I know that's, I mean, Jock Peterson in 2020, his last year with the Dodgers, his OPS plus was 83. That means he was 17% worse than league average. Last year, he got that up to 93. It was a 91 with the Cubs and then up to a 96 with the Braves. Even in the postseason, like, you know, Jock was, he was a postseason legend. Well, yeah, he had three hits, including two homers in the division series. Great division series. Coincidentally or not, the series in which he hardly got any at-bats. Brian Snitker deployed Jock Peterson as, okay, we are only letting you hit in certain situations. That's how to deploy Jock Peterson. Then Jorge Soler got hurt, or got COVID, I think. So Jock had to play much more regularly. And in the National League Championship Series against the Dodgers, he had a 655 OPS. He did have one big home run, for sure. But that was basically the only thing he did. He went 5-for-22 with 8 strikeouts. And then in the World Series, he batted 067, had a 243 OPS. He went 1-for-17 And so even Jocktober didn't really work last year. It worked in the division series. Jock, like, just isn't a very good hitter anymore. He's never been able to hit lefties. That hasn't changed. And he's getting worse and worse against righties. And I don't know, like, 1 year and $6 million sounds about right. And, you know, but the baseball impact isn't really the most notable thing. That's not why we're talking about this on a Dodgers podcast, really. Jock Peterson was a Dodger. He was a Dodger for a long time. He was beloved in LA. Everybody loved him. And then he went to the Cubs, and then he got traded to the Braves, and now he's with the Giants. And I've seen a lot of people really heartbroken that Jock is on the Giants. And while I understand it, I don't share that sentiment. Like, for me, and this isn't to say how you should feel, because I understand people have different favorites, and I get that. I'm not going to tell you who your favorite player should be. I really liked Jock Peterson. I still really like Jock Peterson, but he's just another former Dodger for me. He's not, you know, if Clayton Kershaw had gone to the Rangers, I probably would have watched 80% of Clayton Kershaw's starts for the Rangers. I love Clayton Kershaw. I am, you know, a Clayton Kershaw fan, regardless of, you know, if he ever leaves the Dodgers, I will still be a Clayton Kershaw fan. But then you got a guy like, you know, I'm trying to think of a former Dodger. Who left the Dodgers in the last couple of years? Kike Hernandez is a good example. Another guy kind of like Jock that a lot of people loved. I'm fine. When I see Kike, I'm like, oh, I remember that guy. That's cool. Even Alex Verdugo. I loved Alex Verdugo. I was a big Verdugo fan, but then he got me Mookie Betts. So yeah, I like seeing Verdugo. I wouldn't mind if Verdugo ended up back on the Dodgers at some point, but you know, it's just another former Dodger for me. And that's kind of how I feel about Jock. So if anything, I'm kind of excited that he's on the Giants, because that means the Dodgers will get to play him 19 times a year. Jock won't play much because the Dodgers have, you know, Kershaw and Julio. You know, Jock's not going to start against them. If Andrew Heaney's in the rotation, if David Price is in the rotation, Jock's not going to start against them. Really, it's just Walker Buehler. We'll see what the rest of the rotation ends up looking like. But, you know, Jock's not going to get a lot of playing time against the Dodgers. He'll probably pinch hit in late extra innings or late innings, whatever. But we'll get to see Jock once in a while. And for me, that's good enough. So you factor in that he was from the Bay Area. He grew up a Giants fan. He's always been, you know, he's a big Warriors fan. He's a Bay Area guy. So I'm happy for him. That's basically what it boils down to. And I kind of wish that Vince was here today, because I don't know if Vince would have the same opinion as me. I know that Vince was a little more bummed than I was about Jock going to the Giants. For me, I don't care, but not in an I don't care sort of way. In a, I don't care, you know. I'm not upset about it, I should say. So anyway, it'll be fun to see Jock a lot. And that's what it boils down to for me. All right, I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about the reactions that a lot of Dodger players and the Dodgers manager had about the news that Freddie Freeman was coming to the Dodgers. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. It's that time of year again. This college basketball's tournament is finally upon us. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, BetOnline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, last segment here, and save the best for last, the Freddie for last. There were a lot of good reactions to Freddie Freeman signing with the Dodgers from Dodgers players and management. Trey Turner, I saw a good talk with him, and he was just kind of in awe at how the Dodgers continue to sign good players and trade for good players and have a great farm system. And just, he said everything they do, they seem to do it right. And, you know, that one was exciting to me, because Trey Turner obviously is a guy who we want the Dodgers to sign to an extension. And, you know, for him to be realizing, oh, this team, my best chance to win another World Series is staying with the Dodgers. That's what I'm hoping that Trey Turner is feeling right now. The other Turner had a lot to say. You know, you remember a month or so ago, Alex Wood quote tweeted some tweet about Freddie Freeman hitting home runs. And Alex Wood said that he tweeted and said that he hoped that Freeman would keep hitting home runs for the Braves instead of anyone in the National League West. which was kind of funny at the time because he just kind of acknowledged that the Giants obviously weren't going to try to sign Freddie Freeman. But Justin Turner at that time quote tweeted Alex Wood saying, keep Freeman out of the National League West, just with hashtag dislike button and then three laughing emojis. And Justin Turner, somebody asked him if he was excited. He said, excited is probably an understatement. Obviously, there's been a lot of buildup, a lot of talk, a lot of anticipation as to what was going to happen. To finally see it go down and become official, I slept pretty good. And then he joked, somebody asked if he helped recruit him to the Dodgers. And JT said, I've been recruiting him to be a Dodger for like 5 years. It reminds me of in 2018 when the Dodgers traded for Manny Machado. And I forget who it was on the boat with Justin Turner. Somebody was on a boat with Justin Turner. And it was like, when they found out over the All-Star break, we got Manny. And, obviously, hopefully this one will turn out better. Manny was a rental and Freeman isn't a rental. And Manny did a lot. The Dodgers don't even win their division in 2018 without Manny Machado. But ultimately it didn't lead them to winning a World Series. It led them to the World Series. We'll probably talk more next week about, reiterating Vince and I kind of have this philosophy on baseball and whether it counts if you don't win a World Series. And, it does, but we'll probably talk more about that next week. But this is kind of what this reminded me of, how excited everybody is. Max Muncy mentioned that his wife is the one who told him about the Dodgers signing Freddie Freeman, and Muncy was very excited. Obviously she, Kelsey saw it on Kelsey. I think her name's Kelsey. She saw it on Twitter and told him. Muncy said, he's one of the best hitters this game has ever seen. He makes our lineup so dangerous. It's going to be fun to watch on a nightly basis. But on top of that, he gives us an even better chance to win another World Series. I don't think I'll ever get numb to it, but it's nonstop amazement. We're able to make moves like this. We make moves like this, trades like this. And yet at the same time, we have the best farm system in baseball. It's pretty incredible. That's something that got repeated over and over by fans and players alike, that just how remarkable it is. And we talked about it yesterday, the Dodgers, however you can build a team, the Dodgers are good at it. They're good at drafting. They're good at developing. They're good at trades. They're good at free agency. Obviously the money helps with some of that, but some of it is just, they are a well-run organization that, they have put some of those resources, a lot of those resources into just creating the best organization in baseball. And it's awesome. AJ Pollock, he said, I'm super excited. Freddie's an unbelievable player. I got to watch him all these years. Now he's going to be a member of this clubhouse. This lineup is going to be awesome. It's going to be cool to look back and say, this is a lineup that I was a part of. That's a fun thing. We saw on Twitter on Thursday, Brusdar Graterol the Dodger social media team gave him a GoPro or whatever and had him take it around spring training. So, and at one point he's standing there with himself on screen with Clayton Kershaw behind him. And Kershaw doesn't really realize that Brusdar is recording. And Graterol just says, Kersh is behind me. Wow. The legend. And you could tell, obviously he's joking some, but also it's like, you're Brusdar Graterol, you're 23 years old, whatever. And that's Clayton Kershaw right behind me. That's a Hall of Famer. And, and so it's fun to hear Pollock talking that same way, that like, this is when you hear people saying this is one of the best lineups ever put together, and AJ Pollock is going to be able to say, yeah, I was part of that. You think about, we always talk about the 1927 Yankees, and some of those guys on that Yankees team weren't Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, but they forever were part of the 1927 Yankees. And that's kind of seems like that's what Pollock is feeling right now. And then, before we get too excited, Clayton Kershaw, he didn't throw a damper on it, but what he said, I saw some people getting grumpy about it. I loved it. I'll just read you a bunch of his comments, and at the end, you'll see what I'm talking about. He said, it seemed like that ship was sailed from there, and then you always hear rumors about different teams, but it kind of seemed like we were always at the forefront of that. I was just like everybody else, though. I didn't really have any reason to believe we would get him. And then we did it. It was good. It's a testament to Andrew Friedman, obviously, but a better testament to our ownership. I mean, it's like these guys want to win, and that's awesome. It's fun to be a part of. And then Kershaw said, but you can't just assume because we have 9 of the best players in the game running out there every day that we're going to win. We have to work on that, and we will. We will be good at it. And Kershaw recognizes that on paper is just on paper. The game is won on the field, and they're going to have to go out there and work. And I like that the leadership of the team recognizes that's what you have to do. And Dave Roberts, you know, he's the official leader of the team, and he had kind of some of the same stuff. I'll read some quotes from him. He said, this lineup is as good a lineup as I've ever seen. I don't know if talking about Freddie Freeman, when Roberts talked to him the night that he decided on the Dodgers, he said, I don't know if I've come across a guy, whether it be a trade or a call-up, that was as excited as Freddie Freeman was to be a Dodger. For him to come out west to reconnect with family and friends here and make Los Angeles his home, he's over the moon. And then Roberts said, there's an expectation in Los Angeles, the city of champions, to win. How do you win? You have superstars. It's a good day to be a Dodger. And then Roberts said, you've still got to go out there and play baseball games. You've still got to catch the baseball. You've still got to pitch. But I can't say enough about the team we have. It's that cautious optimism, you know, and I love that Roberts acknowledged the way to win is to have superstars. And that is true in baseball. In other sports, it's not as true. Because like in basketball, only one guy can shoot every possession. And so if you do have multiple superstars, it can actually cause conflict. In football, you can only have one quarterback on the field at a time. You only have a couple wide receivers, you know, and every throw that goes to one wide receiver isn't going to the other one. Every throw that goes to any wide receiver isn't a ball being handed off to the running back, you know. And so you can have egos clashing and too much star power in some other sports. But in baseball, the ball is hit to one place, and whoever it's hit to has to catch it. The lineup is set. Every batter, it's only one guy's turn, you know. Mike Trout doesn't mind that Shohei Ohtani is a superstar because they don't bat at the same time. Trout bats and Ohtani bats. And then later on, they do it again at separate times. And so baseball is different than other sports in that way. And so, yeah, the better players you have, the better chance you have. Obviously, chemistry matters. And nobody's going to question Freddie Freeman's contribution to team chemistry. Everybody loves Freddie Freeman as a person and as a player. But even that chemistry, it's like, you're not going to go out there and say, oh, I'm that guy on second's an a-hole. I'm not going to drive him in. No, you go out there and you try to win. And, you know, maybe you have more fun doing it if you have better chemistry, but I think the best way to win is, like Dave Roberts said, have the best players. And one last thing, what I mentioned that Trey Turner said, I just want to read the exact quote. He said, the way they structured the team and they spend the money, but then they can trade and they can draft and develop. It seems like no matter what they do, it seems like the right move. And that's where I'm at right now. Like this Dodgers front office, this team, the player development system, the ownership, you know, they want to win and they're good at figuring it out. And I know people will talk about, well, but they've only won one World Series. It was a shortened season, blah, 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 blah. You know, the Dodgers, the best way to win a World Series is to go to the postseason every single year and have as good a team as possible. And this Dodger team right now, if they can stay healthy, they're obviously the World Series favorites. And does it mean they'll win the World Series? No, of course not. And the more teams you add to the playoffs, the more chance there is that the best team won't win. That's the nature of the playoffs, like I talked about a week or two ago. That's part of the structure of baseball right now. But your best chance to win the World Series is to put together the best team possible. And the Dodgers offensively have put together maybe literally the best team possible. That's awesome. I'm excited. The players are excited. Dave Roberts is excited. Today, Friday, we will actually get to see the press conference introducing Freddie Freeman. We'll get to see him in Dodger blue for the first time. It's exciting. So many exciting things going on in Dodger land, and obviously still more to come. I still think there's stuff to be done on this roster. It'll be interesting to see what they do to make room for Freeman and Hanser Roberto and everybody. But right now, all the excitement is about Freddie Freeman, and that's as it should be. So, thank you all for checking out Locked On Dodgers. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. If you're not listening every day, please add one or two days a month to your rotation. That would help us out a lot. If you're not watching on YouTube, please at least subscribe on YouTube and check it out once in a while. If you just listened to yesterday's episode, hop on YouTube. At least watch the first couple minutes. You know, while Vince was doing the intro, I was, you know, doing some theatrics behind him. So, you know, it's fun. We do some YouTube stuff. We'll probably do some YouTube exclusive stuff. And if you want to go and review us on iTunes, I made the mistake. I was actually looking at some reviews, and for the most part, you guys have all been really nice to us. There's a couple that it's like, One guy gave us a one star because he's a Braves fan, and we said last year that we still think the Dodgers were a better team than the Braves. Dude, we're a Dodgers podcast. Deal with it. But if you haven't reviewed us and you have nice things to say about us, go give us a five-star review and say nice things about us if you want. That would be great. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.